my pleasure to welcome back for the umpteenth time our own Swami Kriyananda Kanda, Callan Danielle. How do I describe someone who is such an asset to the community? You may know that he's the founder of the Stressful Wellness Center over near the hospital over here. He's been teaching yoga in various venues and various forms of yoga. In fact, we have a poster in the window here for his wellness clinics. One of them coming up on June 8th. That one's for a men's wellness clinic coming up on June 8th. At the Dhyana Center, just down the street. He also teaches at the gym I go to. But he has also spoken here many times on a variety of topics. Tonight, it's one that I understand he is, and I've just heard this tonight, that he's actually creating a Kriya Yoga Center here in Sebastopol. Yay for that! Join me in celebrating that accomplishment. He's also in the process of also creating something called Seva Veg. S-E-V-A, for the Sanskrit word for service, and veg being not for sleeping, I suspect, but actually in reference to the object of this project, which is to offer free meals to people who need free meals, as well as not free meals, for people who can support the project and want wonderful, clean, healthy, vegetarian food. So he's an incredible asset to the Sebastopol community, and I'm so delighted to have you join me in welcoming Swami Kriyananda Kanda, a.k.a. Dr. Callan Danielle.
Thank you. Oh my God, you made me cry. Well, here, let's keep this impersonal, this a little bit. Let's get together and let's ask some questions. Why are you here? What are you looking for Kriya Yoga? And from there we can start maybe, and I would share what Kriya Yoga and all the beautiful things that Kriya Yoga have to offer to us. Yes? I'm sorry.
Well, why am I here? I was here 2 weeks ago and heard that you would be speaking about Kriya Yoga, and I know quite a lot, I shouldn't say that, but I've studied other forms of yoga, and I know absolutely nothing about Kriya Yoga.
Okay.
And I'm very interested in learning.
Completely. We know that there are very many kinds of yoga. Can somebody mention one of them?
Raja
Yoga?
Bhakti
Yoga, Hatha Yoga. Right, different forms to get to the places we want to get. And Raja Yoga, like she said, is kind of that from where Kriya Yoga start. That's from where we want to... we practice Hatha Yoga. What is Hatha Yoga? It's like a foundational, right, yoga, where we learn the basics, we learn the principles, we strengthen the body, we stretch it, we prepare the temple for Raja Yoga, for Kriya Yoga, that is the next step coming. And that's where we work more specialized, specific techniques to develop specific and specialized areas, treasures of the body. Right? So, Hatha Yoga, Raja Yoga, right? The foundation, Hatha Yoga, where you see mostly out there, we're practicing all these postures, all these asanas, with the purpose of keeping our body rejuvenated, right? Mostly, and keep the channels open. So when we practice Kriya Yoga, we can take all those channels and all the energy now and redirect it to special places in the body to develop those body and improve those body, promote the growth of those treasures in the body. ¿Qué más? What else? English is not my first language, please. So if you heard something strange, ask me again, okay? Many times. You'll be fine. And what is your name?
My name?
Yes.
Bonita.
Bonita. Thank you for the opening question. Beautiful. Thank you, Bonita. Who wants to share some yoga? Or Kriya Yoga, Hatha Yoga, Raja Yoga?
I know you as my yoga teacher at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And the class is extraordinary to me, and it's not just the asanas, it's incorporates whatever's going on in the universe, whatever's going on in your mind. So it's another opportunity to get a chance to share with you other things and other topics. And I'm interested in, I know something about other kinds of yoga, but not Kriya Yoga. Mm. So I'm interested to know about its potential for healing.
Right, all yoga is very beautiful and healing in all aspects, right? And Kriya Yoga, that is why we want Hatha Yoga, so we can strengthen the body and we can heal and bring the body back to that rejuvenation and energy, that vitality that we're looking for, right? So Kriya Yoga is more advanced, but at the same time you can start right now too to practice, you know. But it's an example. We have one beautiful beautiful treasure place inside the body, right? And who can mention one of those beautiful places that you think may be interested in the body, like the glands or the energy centers, right, or the nervous system, all these meridian channels that are through the body? And that's what we're looking for in Kriya Yoga, basically. To go and instead of creating one highway, is duplicating those highways, those pathways. To an example, the pineal gland is one of my most favorite places to go there. Wow. So that was one of the main places we go, and we build on it, and we develop, and we keep it nourishing and clean and strong and healthy, right? Because the pineal gland works very important play in our life. When we talk about yoga, it's important that we understand that yoga is our nature, basically. We call it yoga in Sanskrit, right? But really when I see it, when I look at yoga and I understand yoga and I want to be with yoga, I feel like it's part of my own nature. It's something that is there because of who we are. And that is why we work on all those things, like the prefrontal cortex, right? We want to develop our cortex, our brain cortex. It's always expanding already by itself, because the whole body is always expanding until, right, we get to a certain point in life and maybe stops expanding. No? Yes? I don't know. You tell me. Please. Share with me. What else? Share with me. What are you here today?
Well, I took your yoga class last year on a Sunday around noon, and I think it was chakra yoga. It was wonderful and I loved it, but I wonder if that was Kriya Yoga.
Completely. It's part of Kriya Yoga.
Okay.
One of the main things we want to do in Kriya Yoga is to develop our upper chakras. Hatha Yoga, all those standing poses, right? Have you seen them? So many standing poses we practice. It's mostly building those roots, right? And building the trunk when we're working those places. But Kriya Yoga, an example of my practice, I will start with a headstand. That's the first pose in the morning, a headstand. And then a shoulder stand. You see, I'm inverting the body. I'm bringing all the nourishment back to these places where we have a special glands that needs some extra support, and we nourish them, like the thyroid gland, an example. That it filters like tons and tons and tons of water every day, working for us. Gallons of water, just the thyroid gland is probably the gland that filters more water in the entire body. But imagine if you invert your body now, you do a beautiful inversion, and now you have all that flow just coming to it and washing through it. Right now we develop that gland better. Now the gland, it has some extra nourishment that it wasn't expecting to really receive. So this is something that requires your conscious action and work and move those things to get those areas. Imagine you have these beautiful cells, these beautiful glandular cells that are working for you, and now you're supplying them with extra attention. How you will feel? They start to grow, they start to expand, they start to release the toxins out, bringing the nourishment in, because now you're increasing the flow. Like an example, when we focus on the pineal gland and we learn those techniques in there, with practice, she starts to pulse. You feel that pulsation even more powerful every time. Imagine with those pulsations, that means that we're just increasing the area, the nerve impulse, the lymphatic flow, and the blood system is now passing through there with those impulse, with those pulsations that start to expand and increase with practice in the centers.
Remind us of where the pineal gland is in the body.
Yeah, it's just right there. In the topmost part of your head, just right there below, like around here. And also another mark is this big point here. So it's right there where these three fingers meet. Yes, please.
Yeah, you mentioned the thyroid, mm-hmm. filtering a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
How is that in relation to the kidneys?
Yes, completely. It's really, yes, it's filtrating a lot of water because the kidney will be that the first organ that is filtrating the most.
Okay.
Yeah, if, with the adrenal glands.
If you have something like swelling in the feet, would it be more kidney? Or if your thyroid is also having problems, would it be, could thyroid problems cause swelling in the feet as well?
Completely, yes.
It could? Mm-hmm.
The thyroid problems?
Yeah.
Completely, because the thyroid is controlling all the glands down below. For sure, this is the one that is going to say how much water goes in and goes out. It's the one that controls metabolism of the cell, cell metabolism. So cell energy, basically. How much the cell is going to work to let go the water, to go in or out of the cell, is all cell metabolism. So she works in many, in every cell directly. But it's more complicated, you know. We need to look at the person. We need to see other things, other areas, for healing purposes. Because Kriya Yoga specializes in the upper chakras, you get a lot of healing in these upper parts of the body for sure. The thymus gland, right? Very important. We get tons of healing. All those inversion poses, again, that brings the energy. All those back bends that we practice. It's important. This comes back. Because if nothing start to shrink, right, and lose their water, they start to dehydrate, basically. Can I get more water, please? Thank you. It's a science, Kriya Yoga, right? We learn a technique, specific technique, and we start to practice the technique, and with that practice, you develop that muscle of the technique. And that's where we start to increase and develop those areas, those centers, the chakras, what we're talking about, the centers, that in the western side are called the plexuses, or the ganglions of the body. So this is all about this temple, right, and how we can improve this temple and make it nice and sharp. And also an example, our prefrontal cortex, that is the whole cortex, this frontal cortex, that is from where we judge, it's from where we think deeply. In Kriya Yoga, we call this center the Christ center, because this is where our crest is, dividing both hemispheres, the prefrontal cortex, where it's a very important place to develop and practice. That is why you have seen other people that develop those areas, and they have deep philosophy and deep understanding of life, and share those understanding with others. So, yes. ¿Qué más? What else? Tell me more about yoga.
Can you speak a little bit about the importance of initiation in the Kriya tradition? What does that mean?
Initiation?
Yeah, initiation.
This is our baptism, what we call initiation in Kriya Yoga, basically, right? And we get some of the techniques that we are going to learn in that initiation. And we're going to learn the poses, some poses that are going to be guiding you and strengthening you and giving you knowledge and that inner science. Because every time we practice, right, we bring the flow to that area. Like an example, I just did a headstand, and then I did a shoulder stand, and then I relax. And then I feel all the energy came to those areas. And now I start just to observe and enjoy how that pose affects that area. So going through the poses is very important, because they all have different kriyas, different key tools. So we can activate different areas, different chakras, those centers. So basically, we're going back to the rich, to this beautiful temple of the body. We're going back to our anatomy, our physiology, our humanity, basically.
Did you just say that Kriya was tool?
Mm-hmm.
Is a tool?
So it's also a tool, yeah.
So if you were to define what Kriya means, would that be possible?
Yes, completely.
Okay.
Literally means conscious action.
Okay.
Or action with awareness.
Okay.
So that's exactly what I'm doing. Let me show you an example of that. This is Hatha Yoga, right? This is all Hatha Yoga. I'm learning how to move with my breath, because with my breath I bring awareness, right? But then I'm going to add a kriya to this. So inside the pose, I dab that little tool that is going to open what chakra? You see right here, right in the waist, I'm going up and down, I'm massaging my second chakra, my second center. But also it's squeezing the center so I can have even more energy down, going down to my head so I can nourish everything now. So that was also a kriya. I was conscious, I was a whole aware movement. Key tool.
And sometimes people call kriyas like vibrations or movements. Like I've heard people say, oh, I'm working with a body worker and she welcomes my kriyas, like those spontaneous movements that aren't really, they may be conscious once they
happen.
They're
more like discharges.
Yeah, like discharges.
Discharges, completely. Those impulses we were talking about.
Okay.
So impulses is vibration. And when we do those kriyas, we focus, an example, like I said, in the pineal gland, right there. And then we bring the movement of energy into that place. And then start to vibrate to a higher vibration, now start to pulsate to a higher vibration. So, we can call kriya in many different ways, for sure, at least three ways. Like we know, thank you. Also, you heard before that kriyas are for like cleansing techniques. No, you never heard that one.
Cleansing?
Also, yeah, like a cleansing tool, like a cleansing technique tool.
All I know is my brother was a kriya yogi for 25 years, and he was extremely healthy and incredible posture and energy, and he would run in the desert.
Your brother?
Oh, yeah, he was a Yogananda devotee.
Hmm.
But he just had the most, like, such a strong energy and throughout his whole body. And I know he was practicing Kriya Yoga. I just never asked him, you know, what does that look like? What is that, you know, what is it you get from it? He just lived it. But he was quite an inspiration.
Thank you. What else? Please. What else is so interesting here about Kriya Yoga tonight?
Well, the Christ crest that you mentioned earlier is something that I've certainly been incorporating in my daily meditation a lot, and it was something that I never thought about bringing in, and I also try to incorporate it in the midst of other awareness techniques, like listening to what my teacher used to call a sound of silence. So at the same time that I'm listening to the sound that is always present, I'm also focusing on that, as I learned from you, that pulsation in that area there, which has been a very... it's a good discipline because it's not easy to do them both at the same time necessarily, and yet when I do that, it's a very deep practice. So Are there other examples of that that you would share with the...
Completely. We focus on that place. Also, we like to work our Nirvana Center, our Samadhi Center. So when we talk about yoga and we talk about these words, for me, they're not like out there, like Samadhi, where is that? Or so far away. I believe they're really in within us. And what we call the Samadhi Center in Kriya Yoga is our satisfaction center in the thalamus, in the center of the brain, the thalamus and the hypothalamus, connecting to the pituitary gland, that they control the entire body. And imagine you are the satisfaction center, and now you start receiving extra love. Mm-hmm. How you will feel? What will happen to you? Mm-hmm. You will feel that you're satisfied. You feel that you don't need, like we humans need so much, right? Some looking for, searching for, always looking for things. When we fulfill that center, and that center, those cells, imagine those nerve cells expanding and growing, because now you have this exercise where you bring all the energy now there, and they start receiving all this beautiful flow. What kind of flow?
Blood flow,
where we carry all the toxins. What else? Lymph flow, where we carry all the nutrients. And what else?
Breath.
Electricity. Mm-hmm. Pure electricity from the nervous system. Your electrical impulse. So imagine now you're that cell receiving that extra love, and this pulsation starts to grow, and then you can even hear and see and feel it, the sound, the vibration, the colors, when those things start to develop and grow, and the form they take with practice.
So is it possible to practice Kriya Yoga that the Christ Center made me think of this, without doing large movements like a headstand or a shoulder stand?
Completely.
Can it be practiced sort of in more stillness?
Yeah, yes, completely. And let me tell you, all the poses always have a stage one. You can do a headstand right now with me if you want to, and I'll, you know, but I'll take you to a place where it's going to be good and healthy for you, for sure. So, you know, maybe if you're scared of the poses, no? Is that a little bit no? That's why your question coming a little bit into that? No?
Maybe.
The poses, yeah? I know, right? Start your practice 5 in the morning, a headstand right there? No, right? No, I understand. No, but the poses are always, you know, from level one, we go building in the poses, always we get that nourishment there. It's so easy when you warm up, because then you don't need to spend so much focus and concentration. You already brought the energy there by the pose, and then when you sit down, you feel still the warming there. Mm-hmm. So you just bring your attention and you just go into it. What else?
So what's the beginning headstand?
Hmm?
So what's the beginning?
A beginning headstand?
No.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, do you have a mug?
I have a towel.
Do you need a towel or something?
I have a towel.
Thank you, Bridget. I mean, why would this do it all together? I mean, this is something that's
wrong. Can I do it with one?
Do you have a blanket or something? If you want to do it, you're welcome. You're welcome to join me. It's a very gentle one. You just need to think on the movement of energy into the
couple.
Oh, we have a couple for everybody. We have for everybody.
We have a lot of breakables here.
No. We can keep it simple. We can keep it very simple. This is the first level of gentle head. Always we create the same base, so we prepare, right, for headstand always. That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready to go to the second level?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to keep moving, one at a time. And if you're ready, you know, there is no jumping, it's when you are ready. So
Vedic Bible always, all the poses always start from the beginning. For sure.
Something. And the beauty is when you start to grow in those poses.
And if our physical capacity is such that we can never advance more than level one, that's fine.
I'm sorry?
If someone's physical capacity is such that they cannot progress more than level one, if they can't go to two or three, that's fine.
That's 100% fine.
Yeah.
Completely. But I want to see your growth.
Right.
For sure.
Right.
The body is a plastic body, basically. Mm-hmm. And it can be transformed. And the poses are going to transform it.
I know. I happen to know some people who have
short hamstrings.
Well, no, okay, they have short hamstrings, and they think therefore the fear takes a bit of it, and they think they can never progress. And I guess it's just a process of them.
But progression is internal always. It's always internal. Remember the pose; it just takes my body to a position. Where, so I did headstand, right? And after headstand, I go into complete relaxation. And that's when Kriya Yoga starts. That's when I start looking inside. Oh, look at my Panagra. Now it's pulsating. Oh, it's there. Mm-hmm. So we stay there like a baby when you were in the fetus inside your mother. Suddenly you just stay there listening to the sounds of your mother. Mm-hmm. Or just looking at light and sound and vibration of those things. So same thing, you just stay there. Stare at it. You get consumed by it to the point that you disappear on it and you become one with it. And that's what yoga means to me. Thank you.
I just wanted to say the reason I'm here is to find out more about what you're bringing to the community next in Korea.
Yes.
And I've been one of the lucky ones to access you, both at coaches and a number of other places can help me take care of my body. It's gone through a number of things. And it's just been so beneficial. I was really excited to hear that you were speaking again tonight. And just want to stay as close and in touch about this.
Thank you. Yes, I'm super excited to bring this new place to practice. But let me tell you, it's as good as it sounds. I mean the opposite. It's rustic. It's outdoors. It's outdoors. It's a beautiful place, very calm. I believe yoga should be practiced outdoors. We should have pure air to breathe when we practice pranayama, when we do the exercises, because really yoga is all about breathing. And when we do a pose, and this is also what I mean that yoga is within us. I'm going to stretch. Look. You see, I stretch, it's a basic reflex of the body. You know what is a reflex? A nervous reflex, central nervous system reflex, or autonomic reflex. That's what I just did. I stretch the fibers, immediately it kicks a respiratory reflex. We need to do those things in pure air where the body feels that it can breathe and expand. Because that's what we're practicing, that yoga, to fulfill those channels. With that same air we're breathing, with that electricity we're breathing. That's what we're like breathing. We're breathing electricity, basically, through the nose and supplying the entire body with it. So I'm very excited. Yes, it's open. It's outdoors. It's a beautiful place. But you will see. It's a beautiful place. Very nice place. Ready for us. The beautiful tree. Our canopy. You will see. So. Meditation too. Kriya Yoga is very strong in those meditations techniques. So we practice postures, we practice pranayama, the breathing exercises, and we practice meditation. Also we practice pratyahara, where we control the senses. And we learn how to get in tune with the senses, and how the senses can be open, but also how they can be closed and bring inward. So we practice some of that too. And many other kriyas. Kriyas also means, this is an interesting meaning of kriya, it means doing three things at a time. Because basically that's what we're doing. Hatha yoga, we may be doing just one, right? I'm here just breathing. But in kriya yoga, I'll have my tongue up, I'll connect my mula bandha, I'll connect different muscle contractions on there. At the same time, I'm doing my pose. Nobody's seeing those things, right? Those are secret tools. That's what we mean when things are secret. That it's for everybody. It's for the whole population, but there are things that you can really see, like those little practices. Connecting, reconnecting, strengthening, supporting, promoting. Right? Those are the things we're looking for. Opening, expanding, and learning how to close too, for sure. Tell me, please, there in that corner, share something with us.
What about nutrition, food?
Completely. That's probably the most important part of a yoga in general, right? Is to supply the body with the variety of nutrients. Mostly because that's what we're doing. We're nourishing those nerve cells up there. So you want to have plenty of water. Because this is all mostly about water, but you want to have... What is our first nutrition?
Air.
Air. That is why pranayamas in Kriya Yoga are very strong. Kriya Yoga teaches us how we can get the best and the most of the air we breathe. Basically, with very specific techniques like controlling the epiglottis muscle, allowing the air to stay longer inside of the body, and things like that. So, but nutrition is very important, right? And when we study yoga, when we practice yoga, it comes with something else, with a big science behind it. Which science is that? Yoga and Ayurveda. Ayurveda, right? And Ayurveda basically is based on yogis with this beautiful knowledge, and Ayurveda show us how is a great nutrition. That's what we're trying to promote in Sebavech. We're trying to bring that kind of eating and food out. Where an example, we believe in the five elements and the six flavors. The five elements,
okay.
And the six flavors. What are the five elements of life?
Fire.
So fire, water.
Air.
Earth.
Ether.
There's six, I'm sorry. There's six. Ether and...
Metal.
Huh?
Is it oil? Wood?
Hmm?
Wood?
No.
Fire, water... Air, ether,
Spirit, and love. Yes, this is the love center, by the way. The heart is the love center. So it's also an element. But yes, right, we have the earth element down the roots, and then we have the water element in the body, and then we have the fire, we have the air, we have the love, we have vibration, we have light element. That is with the ether element, right? Light and sound. So we see the same thing as in the plants. It's important to have roots, it's important to have stems, to have leaves, to have flowers, to have seeds, to have grains, to have the fruit of the plant, the flower of the plant. So an example, this morning we cook sprouted amaranth millet cakes. And we did tons of beautiful vegetables, from beets to cauliflowers, the flower of the plant. We took all the stems of all the greens, and we put all those five elements together in that beautiful meal today. In that way, you can guarantee the nutrients your body receiving, because what else is out there? You have all the parts of the plant in your dish. What else is out there? The animal world is out there, right? But if you feed yourself vegetarian, so having the five elements and the six flavors is very important. So the body can keep nourishing. So it's very important. We do a sattvic diet when we practice Kriya Yoga. We love to clean the body with the diet. So we practice what we call a sattvic diet, that is a pure, more sattva, more saintly, healing way of eating. So completely Kriya Yoga with food and Kriya Yoga, they go together. Always. There is no separation in between that, basically. So we'll learn about cooking and eating too, for sure. There is always a part of that, very important part in the initiations where we learn that. From using glasses myself to not using glasses, from losing my hair to bring more hair, my whole life changed. Really, it's very beautiful, very beautiful. You know, it's not easy, right? It requires your practice, your discipline, and where do those other distracting factors, family, kids,
So far you've talked about the physical, okay, so physical, emotional, and perhaps intellectual benefit of Kriya Yoga. In other forms of yoga, there's an emphasis upon the samadhi, reaching enlightenment. Is that part of Kriya Yoga?
Yes, and I talk about that already. But in a different language.
Yes.
So we can, because exactly, imagine if you're bringing that in, that electrical impulse to that pineal gland. We're talking about pure light. Mm-hmm. Talking about light, nothing else. That is what is running through the nerves. It's pure, beautiful light that we breathe and it supplies the entire body. So I don't see any difference between the spiritual, the soul, the body. It's all this beautiful thing completely. We're expanding our consciousness with these techniques, right? Yoga will keep that consciousness expanding always beautifully, but with Kriya Yoga, we accelerate a little bit the growing process, the expanding process, right? So we bring our brain, our cortex, and all those samadhi places. We bring them to the next level in expansion and nourishment and consciousness. That for sure is going to be expressed in many ways in our life. When we talk about the emotions, really, when you know, I love to bring it back to the earth, because our emotions are just electrons moving through the channels in the body, and these electrons are ions, what we call minerals, what we call salts. These emotions have a form, pyramidal form, triangle forms, beautiful forms, and these elements get stagnant in our pathways, and we accumulate, and they become pain someday, or something, and stagnant motion in the emotion in there. And Kriya Yoga is helping us to open those channels, to allow those crystals, beautiful crystals. It's all about crystals inside here and outside too, right? What else, please?
I think you said there are 108 Kriyas. Is that true?
Yes, it's just a number of that there are many.
Yeah.
Anytime you see an 8 means infinite, so
you
know, that means kind of like it never stops. Babaji never stops sharing the kriyas with us and sharing, so we can keep bringing more kriyas to the community, like the one we practiced that day. Those, we work specifically the chakras, and we work on the chakras mainly to get the body balance. It's infinite, right? Keep coming here infinitely too?
Infinitely. And there will be infinite many rivers.
Yes. Something in the bucket there for us, please. Please. Something.
Brother
Kim. Oh, wonderful.
He's very high.
Oh, thank you so much. Anything that makes you like, huh? No, or.
That's very interesting. That's naive.
Yes?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we, pretty naive in this, me too, including myself, because you know, this is such a magnificent body and all these beautiful gifts, and we just know we're just starting to develop them and work on those places. So it's beautiful. Yeah, in Kriya Yoga, it's a science. I'll prove it to you. No, right? You need to prove it to yourself with the practice. But the body is the map. Okay? There is no wee wee, woo woo, cha cha out there. Here, let's come to here. Open the body, and you know, this is what we're working on. And so there is no kind of like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. No, it's go to the body, check it out. See how is the anatomy of the body, how is the physiology of the body. Right? But right, there is some knowledge in the physiology. Like I love to use my medical physiology book to bring the pineal gland an example, because the guy is talking about the pineal gland, the third eye, in this medical physiology book, and I'm surprised. It's wow, interesting how a medical doctor, basically from the 40s and 50s, he brings this amazing, beautiful knowledge about the nervous system, and he's talking about the pineal gland, the book used in all medical schools. But you see, he comes to a certain place in that knowledge. He brings, oh, this is what Socrates said, this is what other people thought about the pineal gland. And then, you know, there is so much more that we can share with Kriya Yoga and the pineal gland, and how that beautiful eye is important to be developed and open so we can see our body of light, basically. So we developed that eye, that is a complete full eye with rods and cones, with extra retinol, and like an eye, all the anatomy and all the physiology of an eye, the pineal gland. How beautiful, no? And we never knew it was in there. Who knew it was in there? That third eye that we're always calling, like, if it's something like from Mars. Well, it's from Mars,
yeah.
Too, by the way. Because all the planets are connected right here, right now, right? So, yes. Thank you.
So, is Yoga Nidra a part? Is that a Kriya?
Yoga Nidra is part of Kriya Yoga. Very important part of Hatha Yoga. Remember, Kriya Yoga is part of Hatha Yoga. Everything comes from Hatha Yoga, mostly, right? And then we're specialized workers, like Yoga Nidra, that is how the yogis sleep, basically. That beautiful technique, very powerful, very beautiful Kriya technique, to be in touch with the most subtle parts of our life. A lot of light and sound in there. ¿Qué más? What else? Please, you want to practice a little bit of something? Yes, let's do one exercise. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the edge of the chair. So we can ground the feet. We can feel the sitting bones. You see, in Hatha Yoga, we learn how to align the body. So I want to let the shoulders and the elbows fall and relax. I want to bring the chin lightly in so I can align my ear with my shoulder and my hip. We close the eyes. Very good. Just like that, become the observer. Observe your body, observe your thoughts. Observe how your body's breathing. Observe how your body feels. Very gently, very, very gently, let's bring the tip of the tongue to touch up the heart palate, very softly. Try to keep the jaw as much as you can relaxed, and the tongue softly activated, touching the top, the heart palate. And observe, feel what happens when that tongue touch right there. It should create another reflex, beautiful. And now very gently, very softly, like an acupressure point, pulsate with the tongue up, massaging like that point, very gently, like massaging, pulsating up, and observe and feel what happens. Keep pulsating in that place, and then let it go and observe what happens. Thank you. You have to see in there, or feel, or experience.
Quieting of the mind.
Quieting? What else?
More saliva.
More saliva. Beautiful sign. No, very, very important sign that we are. It's important for us in yoga. That extra saliva is extra healing, that saliva. Huh? And it's part of one of the exercises. When we raise the tongue up, we promote more saliva production. That means that in psychology, it's an important sign too of the person being content instead of being depressed. Mostly depression, dry mouth, all those things. So saliva production, very important, right? So tons of antibacterial, antifungal properties, so when you swallow it, it's healing, taking the phlegm, bacteria and viruses, making the stomach to warm up and balance the pH. So, I'm sorry, yes. So you see, we practice things for a purpose. It's not that we just, oh, I'm going to do this. That's good too. That's another kind of yoga too, for sure. Beautiful too, no doubt. But you see, we're practicing these techniques because they have a scientific purpose in our lives. Tell me, please. Another experience from the exercise? What do you feel in there? Let's do it one more time. Let's go there one more time. And feel the changes, observe the changes. Just gently relax and place the tip of the tongue up at the heart palate. And observe what happens. Gently start to pulsate the tongue right there. Gently pushing up and releasing, pushing up and releasing, pushing up and releasing. Go, we relax. Very good. What do you got in there? Tell me. Share with me.
It shifts my attention out of the intellectual center.
I'm sorry?
It shifts my attention out of the brain, the intellectual center.
It takes your
attention
to where?
Or to my
to that place. Perfect. Yeah, that's one of the things we're wanting. Right. What else?
What? I think the breathing is you quiet your mind. The breathing relaxes
deeper. You got to. You notice a change in your breathing pattern.
And I can.
Anyone else feel that change in the breathing pattern? What else, Kim? Sorry.
Oh, no. And then with the breathing getting deeper and the belly expanding, there's just this calm that the triple effect. Start to calm down, start to breathe more deeply, and then there's an elevation in the mood.
Elevation in the mood. Oh, beautiful. Completely. Right? We're getting those centers up there. Those centers control the entire of our body. Right? Everything starts right there in that thalamus. And the pineal gland sending the signal to the thalamus, and then the thalamus to the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus to the pituitary gland, and the pituitary gland down to the entire of the body. So, that's what we're working on. Satisfaction center, the food center. So we can completely super nourish those cells to the point that we don't feel attracted to certain things in life that we used to feel attracted, and spend energy becoming more effective and efficient in the system. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you, and we can keep talking about it more and more. It's my passion, so until
could you talk something
infinity.
About your, you said Babaji, mm-hmm. and I think Yogananda, can you tell me how your gurus teach you, your relationship with you? I was confused when you said Babaji. I thought Yogananda was your...
Babaji is all the Kriya Yoga teachers, of the teachers.
Ancient.
Huh?
Ancient lineage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Babaji. So do you feel like he teaches you personally?
Completely. He guides us completely. Not me, he guides us all.
But you also...
You know what Baba means? Father. It means also heaven, the sky. It means above all the amazing... information infinite that is in this beautiful cosmos for us, and through this beautiful yogi teacher Babaji, right, he incarnates that into us and bring all these beautiful things to us, beautiful techniques, science, and the art of Kriya Yoga.
Do you have a living master now after Yogananda?
My teacher, yes, my teacher, he got illuminated, he passed.
So you don't have a living master now?
we may have a language barrier here. Because I don't see any difference between the living and the what?
Transcendent.
Or it's all living to me. So we're more etheric than what we think we are. So I don't see any differences between the living and the non-living. Basically, you know, my teacher comes and he teach me and he talk to me and he and many people experience that too here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes? No?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of that? Yes.
I think in your language you would say living is living. Living is alive. Alive is living. What is alive is living. Am I getting there?
Yes, completely.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And so what else is out there? Death or transcendent? That's another conversation day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. What else? Are we good for tonight? Any other questions or something you want to share? Or
what benefits from special kinds of breathing?
From breathing?
Yeah.
From the pranayamas? Pranayama is, breathing is our first food and our first medicine. Yes? So every time, that is why every time you go to your doctor, the first thing the doctors do is, let's check out how are you breathing, and make sure that your breathing is proper, right? So you have a good supply of energy into your body, right? No? Yes? So anyway, yes, it's so important, right? Because in Kriya Yoga, that's one of the main places, that's our main supply of energy. You know, one of the things we learn in Kriya Yoga is that the brain feeds, not from the lungs, it feeds from right here, from that crest. That's where, when we breathe, all the energy really goes through there first. All the prana. What is prana? How we call prana in this side of the world? We call it oxygen, we call it nitrogen, we call it hydrogen, we call it in different forms. But when we look inside, what are we looking deep inside? When we look very close, it's just pure energy, right? Pure electricity. It's an electrical charge, what we're breathing in through the nose. And that electrical charge is going to supply first our big brain, our powerhouse. So when we start doing more pranayama, we start increasing the amount of electricity that now is going to be serving your powerhouse. And now there are areas in the brain that were dormant, now they're going to start to awake and develop. Developing our powers that are in that space where we need to expand our consciousness. Consciousness expands always, right? It's our nature. The nervous system is always expanding, it's always creating new pathways, new neural pathways. The whole time we learn something new, new electrical pathways are created. So with pranayama, imagine now those pathways just filled with energy passing by, nourishing the body, to the point that then we start to change and switch from a more heavier diet to a more lighter diet, to the point that someday we keep practicing pranayama and we don't depend on food anymore, and we just want to stay there in the farm and just breathing all day long and meditating. Then I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. One of the students comes, put some honey in your lips, and then you keep it. I'm just kidding. But no, that's what they do. You've seen it, right? They just fill yourself with tons of prana to supply the body. That's a beautiful, very important part, you know, that we are etheric beings. We are pure etheric beings. This body is made of what?
Magic,
yes.
Light.
That's what is ether to me, is pure magic, ether. So what is this body made of? If we call it in this Western side, the body is very interesting. You probably don't even believe what I'm going to tell you now. But your body is around 86% oxygen, nitrogen, hydrogen, and if we add carbon, it will be 96%. So what are all the vitamins, minerals? The rest is just like 0.1, that 5 down, calcium, all the other rest of the minerals. So that's the body mass. The body mass is 96% mostly gases, ether. So a shocking reality. So what is the difference between the life and the death? Is like, they're so close together, those two, that there is no difference between those. ¿Qué más? Are we good for tonight? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you to Many Rivers. It's such a precious place to be.
Well, thank you on behalf of Many Rivers. And I will point out that we have a donation bowl over on the counter. We use that, what you generously provide within that bowl to help the work of our speakers.
Thank you.
And also retain half to maintain the space itself for further such wonderful events. And so I encourage you to contribute to it. Jim has thoughtfully put out some books on related topics over here for you to look at as you go out. Also feel free, please, to take posters and brochures. We have tons of those wonderful brochures for the Conscious Family Festival. Please do take those, share them with people who you think would be interested, and even people who only might be interested, because there's some awesome stuff going to be happening there, including stuff that our speaker tonight,
thank you,
will be sharing. So thank you all for coming tonight. It's my pleasure to have you.
There is a beautiful book, by the way. They're still looking for that book. Maybe we can go and get it.